Thank you for joining. Today's daf is daf Ayin Beis. It's a very important topic. It's the topic of Toeh B'Dvar Mitzvah. Someone who's under stress because he's trying to do a mitzvah, and because he was under stress trying to do a mitzvah, ends up making a mistake. And he ends up doing something that he shouldn't have done on Shabbos. Is that an exemption because he's Toeh B'Dvar Mitzvah? And he doesn't have to bring a carbon chatas. So do we say, no, this is a shogeg. He made a mistake, like anybody else who makes a mistake in terms of Shabbos. He violated Shabbos. Good morning, welcome. And he has to bring a carbon chatas. So that's going to be the topic. And we get into it through talking about carbon Pesach on Shabbos. So let's start with the Mishnah here on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. We know that one of the laws of the Karban Pesach is that the Karban Pesach is unique. It's like the Karban Chatas. If it's slaughtered shelo l'shma, it's disqualified. If you slaughter the Pesach as a shlamim on Erev Pesach, that disqualifies it. So we learned HaPesach sheshchato shelo l'shmo. Let's say a person takes a Karban Pesach on Erev Pesach and he slaughters it not as Pesach, but he slaughters it as Shlamim, or he slaughters it as Todah, slaughters it as something else. Now, that disqualified it. It's not a Kasher Karban Pesach. But when did he do this? He did this on a Shabbos. He did this when Erev Pesach was on Shabbos. So when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, he's slaughtering the Karban Pesach, not as Karban Pesach, but he's slaughtering it as a Todah. So now it's disqualified. Now, we have a special law, B'moado, that Karban Pesach can be brought on Shabbos, but you can't bring a Karban Todah on Shabbos. So the person who slaughters a Karban Pesach, Shelo L'shma on a Shabbos, an Erev Pesach, Shechalios B'Shabbos. So now it was just doing an Aveir, just violating Shabbos. So Chayiv Olav Chatas, he has to bring a sin offering. He just violated Shabbos. Yes, was he pressured? He was pressured. He wanted to bring Karban Pesach. But he ended up doing something which wasn't a mitzvah at all. He ended up slaughtering the Karban Pesach as a Todah. If you slaughter it as a Todah, it's not the mitzvah. So then there's no right for the Todah to overrule Shabbos. So he just ended up violating Shabbos. So he has to bring a sin offering for mistakenly violating Shabbos. However, Ushar Kol Hazvach, let's say on this Erev Pesach, which was Shabbos, he takes some other Karban. Sheshachtam L'shem Pesach. He takes a shlamim, something which had been made holy as a shlamim, or something which had been made holy as an asham, and he takes it on Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos, in the afternoon, and he slaughters it as Pesach. Again, he's pressured with Pesach. Think about Pesach, Pesach, Pesach. So he takes the toad and he slaughters the toad as a Pesach. He takes the shlamim, he slaughters the shlamim as a Pesach. So now it depends. If it's an animal that could never be a Karban Pesach, let's say it was a cow, you know, or it was an animal over 2 years old. So an animal that can't be a Karban Pesach, even though he was stressed, and he said, I'm slaughtering it as a Pesach, there's no way it worked. So since there's no way it worked, therefore, Chayiv, that's just, he violated Shabbos, he has to bring a sin offering. However, so again, it's Erev Pesach on Shabbos. He takes this shlamim, which is 1 year old, and the shlamim, which is 1 year old, he slaughters it as a Pesach. So if you slaughter something as a Pesach, so, you know, and he was thinking Pesach, and this is which could have been a Pesach, right? This is a shlamim, which is 1 year old. So this is what it's called, you know, Toeh B'Dvar Mitzvah. He's under stress to do the mitzvah of Pesach. He's making a mistake, and he actually does a bit of a mitzvah. So Rabbi Elazar Mechayev Chatas. Rabbi Elazar says he still has to bring a sin offering. However, Rabbi Yeshua Poter, Rabbi Yeshua exempts, because Rabbi Yeshua said like this, he was under stress to try to do the mitzvah. He's trying to do the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. But because he was stressed, he made this mistake to think that the shlamim was the Pesach. And now he actually did a mitzvah. You know, shlamim brought as a Pesach is not so crazy. It could have been a Pesach. He does fulfill a mitzvah, because all karbanos that are offered shelo l'shman are kasher. They don't fulfill obligations, but they are kasher karbanos. So a shlam offered as a Pesach is a kasher karban. So
So therefore, since he was under stress trying to do a mitzvah, and he made a mistake, but it was a legitimate mistake, therefore he doesn't have to bring a karban chatas for violating Shabbos. It's not considered a shogeg violation of Shabbos. So again, the beginning part of the Mishnah says, if you have a karban Pesach on Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos, so if you slaughter it as a Pesach, of course that's fine. That's the mitzvah. You're allowed Pesach overrule Shabbos. If you slaughter it as something else, so then you just violated Shabbos. You have to bring a sin offering. However, if you have a different karban, a karban shlamin, that you slaughter as a Pesach, if this karban shlamim is of an animal that could never be a Pesach, then there's no right to make a mistake about it. You should never have made such a mistake. Then he has to bring a sin offering for violating Shabbos. But if it's a karban shlamim that could have been a Pesach, it's a sheep or a goat that's 1 year old, and he slaughtered it saying it was, in fact, Pesach. So this is a legitimate mistake. He does not have to bring a sin offering. Now the Gemara has a conversation, the Mishnah has a conversation between Rabbi Eliezer, who does not agree with that. He does not agree that legitimate mistakes don't bring sin offerings, versus Rabbi Yeshua, who believes that Tzav B'Dvar Mitzvah is exempt from a sin offering. I'm Rabbi Eliezer, blessed is Rabbi Yeshua. I don't understand. Kal v'chomer, mayim Pesach shumat lishmo. Carbon Pesach, if you slaughter it as a Pesach, fine, you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Kishashina shmo, if you slaughter the Pesach as something else, Chayiv, so now you're not going to, it is considered a violation of Shabbos. You have to bring a sin offering. Zvachim, when you deal with other karbanos, like a shlamim, shehein, asurin lishman, where there is a prohibition to slaughter shlamim lishman. You're not allowed to slaughter a shlamim for the sake of shlamim on Shabbos. You can't do that. Shabbos, shlamim is not docha Shabbos. So kishina shman. So now you didn't do it even in the right way. You did a shlam as a Pesach. So of course, you know, didn't she chayav? Certainly, you should have to bring a sin offering. Amar Yeshua, Yeshua said, look, you were married to a Pesach. If a person slaughters a Pesach as a shlamim, so she know b'doa v'aser. You change it into something where you're not allowed to offer. You change the Pesach to a shlam. You're not allowed to offer a shlam on Shabbos. Tomer b'zvachim shishina b'davar mutter. Can't compare that to taking a shlamim, a 1 year old shlamim, and offering it as a Pesach. Your deviation is towards something which is permitted. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer says back, Emurei Tzibur Yochichu, but think about regular karbanos of the community. Let's say the Musaf of Shabbos, or the Musaf of Yom Tov. Hey Mutarin Lishman. You're allowed to offer the Musaf of Shabbos on Shabbos, as a Musaf of Shabbos. But a Shochet Lishman, if somebody were to slaughter some other animal and say, I'm doing it as the Musaf of Shabbos, certainly Chayiv, you would have to bring a sin offering. Rabbi Yeshua said, no, there's a difference. You might have to be Murid Sibur, and somebody, when you deal with communal karbanos, Sheish Len Kitzvah, there's a set amount. You bring two karbanos on Shabbos, right? Two sheep for the karban of Shabbos. What's this guy offering some other animal as a Musaf of Shabbos? He knows it's not the right thing. He knows there's only a set amount that can be offered. So of course, when he's doing the wrong thing, he's going to have to bring a sin offering. But a guy who slaughters a Karban Pesach, there is no set amount to Karbanos Pesach. Somebody picks up a knife, who does? He sees another animal. Maybe this animal is supposed to be a Karban Pesach, so it's not a problem. Reb Meir actually disagrees with the whole idea about communal Karbanos. He says, Afashoch l'shem muri tzibur, somebody who on Shabbos slaughters an animal for the sake of a communal Karban, let's say he slaughters an animal as a Musaf of Shabbos, Pater would be exempt from a sin offering, because that's also considered Tzo'eh B'Dvar Mitzvah, making a mistake in trying to do a mitzvah. All right, new laws. Shchato Shlol Ochlo. Let's say it's Shabbos, and it's Erev Pesach, and somebody slaughters the Karban Pesach for people who can't eat it on Shabbos, right? For an elderly man or a sickly man who can't eat the meat. Or Shlol Menuyah, he slaughters it for people who did not participate in purchasing this karban, right? Or la'arelim, for people who don't have brismila, also can't eat it. It's main, people who are tummy can't eat it. So then he slaughtered the karban Pesach on Shabbos in a way that makes it possible, so chayav chatas. Now he has to bring a sin offering for violating Shabbos. But if he slaughtered it lo'ochla, v'shalo lo'ochla, for people who could eat it, plus people who can't eat it. Le'menuya v'shalo le'menuya, for those who had bought it and for those who didn't buy it. Le'mula v'la'arelim, for those who had circumcision and those who didn't have circumcision. Le'tzimein v'la'tzohorim, for those who are tamei and for those who are tamei. Then he's potter, because it is a kosher carbon. Next law. Shchatzav v'nimtza b'almum. Let's say again, Erev Pesach on Shabbos, he slaughters the Korban Pesach, and it turns out that the Korban Pesach is blemished. So now, that's a violation. And now, he has to bring a sin offering for having mistakenly violated Shabbos. He should have checked the animal to see that it has a blemish. What happens though if it's not an external blemish, it's an internal blemish? He slaughters it and he finds inside that it has a hole in its lungs, and it has a hole in the brain. So then he's potter, then he's exempt, because he was an anus, he's out of control. One second, just to finish the Mishnah. Shchatu, if he slaughters the Korban Pesach on Shabbos, v'noda shemashku ba'alim es yadam, and after he slaughters the Korban Pesach on Shabbos, he's informed that the owners have decided to drop out of this Korban Pesach. Oshemesu, or that the owners have died. Oshenitmu, or that they became tummy. So then, potter, he's exempt. Because when he slaughtered, he doesn't drink a Korban for violating Shabbos. When he slaughtered, he was allowed to slaughter. He didn't know that they were going to drop out. Then they dropped out. Okay, so he didn't know. It was an anus. It was out of his control. So he doesn't have to bring a sin offering. Yeah, question, Baruch.
If somebody brings the offering, they have to eat the meat, right?
Yes.
What happens if the guy is a vegan or he has a stomach issue and he cannot eat it? So he has to bring one more sin offering or forgive him? What's going on?
Maybe he can give it to his wife. Let his wife eat the meat, yeah.
So he doesn't have to eat, he can give it to the family.
Yeah, the family. Yeah. Alright, so says the Gemara, there's an argument in Masechet Menachos, when we talk about somebody taking a sacrifice and offering it for the wrong sanctity. So there's an argument whether that applies to somebody who deliberately tried to change the purpose of the sacrifice, or even to someone who made a legitimate mistake. He thought it was the other thing. He thought it was a shlamin when it really was a Pesach. So the Maya Askina, what's the case of our Mishnah? Elim b'toa, if we're talking about a case where somebody literally made an honest mistake. In other words, he thought he has a shlamim, but he's under pressure because it's Erev Pesach to bring Pesachim. And he made a legitimate mistake. He thought it was a Korban Pesach. So Shmamina, you can see from this Mishnah that Akira Bataras Havi Akira. When you make an honest mistake, that's also considered, you know, redirecting the sanctity of the sacrifice. So that's a problem with Rabbah and Masechta Menachos, who holds that if you make a mistake, that's not considered a redirection. The Ela Ba'oker. So you have to say that the case of the Mishnah is that he knows that it's something else, right? So the first case of the Mishnah, HaPesach Sheshatel Shelo Lishmo, is that he knows it's a Korban Pesach, and he deliberately says, I'm going to do it as a Shlamin. So if so, Eima Seifa, now read the next line of the Mishnah. But if he has other Korbanos, let's say Shlamim, Sheshatel Lishom Pesach, that he slaughters them as Pesach. So now it depends. Im in Ruyim LePesach, right? If there are things that couldn't be a Pesach, like, say, a calf, then Chayiv, then he has to bring a sin offering. And if they could have been a Korban Pesach, Rebbe Lezer, Mechayev Chatos, Rebbe Lezer says it's still a violation of Shabbos, he still has to bring a sin offering. Rebbe Yeshua Potter, Rebbe Yeshua exempts him because he said, listen, he was under stress to try to bring Korban Pesach, and under stress he made a mistake, he still fulfills a mitzvah, it's still a kosher Korban, it's just not a kosher for the owners, it's still a kosher Korban, a shlamim for a Pesach. So he's exempt from violating Shabbos. He doesn't have to bring a sin offering for the violation of Shabbos. Ibok, if the case of the Mishnah is that he knows that it was a shlamim and he's deliberately making it into a Pesach, so mali ruin, mali shen ruin. So who cares whether it's something that could have been a Pesach or couldn't have been a Pesach? He has intention to do it in the wrong way. It should always be a violation of Shabbos. Elav shita b'toa. So clearly, the end of the Mishnah, which talks about an animal that's being slaughtered as a Pesach, is when he's making a mistake. He's under stress to bring Pesachs, so he thinks that this one is also a Pesach. Understand, Reisha Ba'oker, the beginning of the Mishnah, is talking about where he knows what it is, and he's deliberately doing it in the wrong way. The Sefer B'toa, and the end of the Mishnah, is talking about where he's making a mistake about the identity. Amar Rav Avin, exactly. That's what's going on. Reisha ba'oker v'seifa b'toa. The beginning of the Mishnah, when the Mishnah talks about a guy taking a carbon Pesach that he's slaughtering it for something else on Shabbos, it's when he knows that it's Pesach and he's deliberately slaughtering it for shlamim on Shabbos. Then he has to bring a sin offering. As if he's if he forgot that it was a Pesach and he's making a mistake to think that it's a shlamim, so that would be a problem for what we have a discussion in Menachos, whether Akira Betos is an Akira, whether an uprooting by mistake is considered an uprooting. So no, that's a case of Akira. That's a case where it's deliberate. The other part of the Mishnah where it says that if he has a shlamim and he offers the shlamim as a Pesach, that's where it's a mistake. He forgot that it was a shlamim. So now the Gemara has a story. Ashkechir Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef le Rav Avot. Rav Yitzchak bar Rav Yosef met or found Rav Avot Avakoy beuchlusa deinchi, that he was standing amongst a whole group of people. Amaleh, Rav Yitzchak bar Rav Yosef said to Rav Avot, Masnisin mai, how do you interpret our Mishnah? Amaleh, he said, I interpret it the way the Gemara interpreted it. Reisha ba'oka, the first line of the Mishnah, when somebody slaughters the Pesach for the wrong thing, that's where he knows that it's a Pesach and he's deliberately doing it as a shlamim. And he has to bring a sin offering for violating Shabbos. The say for the other part of the Mishnah, where the shlamim, if it's something which could have been a Pesach, is offered as a Pesach, is kosh, it does not, according to Rabbi Yeshua, does not obligate him to bring a sin offering. His betzah is when he's making a mistake. He thought it was a Pesach, and he made it a legitimate mistake. So Tanim in Arba Zimnin. So Rav Yitzchak Rav Yosef learned it from Rav Avoh 40 times. He reviewed it 40 times. Then he said, okay, now it's come on the Munuch Bekasma. Then he felt, it's as if it's in my pocket. If I review something 40 times, then I got it. Tanan, we learned later on in the Mishnah. Amr Belezer, Belezer says to Rabbi Yeshua, Mayim Pesach, Shemotu L'shmo. It doesn't make sense what you're saying. Pesach, you're allowed to slaughter it on Shabbos as a Pesach. And yet, Kishashina, Shmo, if you slaughter it on Shabbos as a Shlamim, Chayiv, you have to bring a sin offering. Zvachim, when you deal with other karbanos, let's say a shlamim, shein asurim l'shman, you're not allowed to slaughter shlamim as a shlamim on Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos. Because shein asurim, so now that when he did it in the wrong way, didn't she echayv? Certainly she has to bring a sin offering. Then he said, if you're going to tell me that the two cases are dealing with totally different cases, hello dummy, it's not even comparable. Reisha ba'oker. The beginning of the Mishnah was talking about a case where somebody knows that it's a Pesach, and he deliberately slaughters the Pesach as a shlamim. So then, of course, it's a sin. And he has to bring a chatas. But Seifa, the latter part of the Mishnah, when he slaughters the shlam as a Pesach, is only a tzoh. He's only making a mistake. So since he's making a mistake, it's less of a chilul Shabbos. What's the comparison? So Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar, according to Rabbi Elazar, he didn't think that was an answer. Lo shani le. He doesn't think there's a difference. He doesn't think there's a difference. He says that if, when you take a Pesach, and you deliberately slaughtered the Pesach as a shlamim, you knew it was a Pesach, and nevertheless you slaughtered it as a shlamim on Shabbos, if you have to bring a sin offering for that, because that's considered a violation of Shabbos, even though Pesach as a Pesach could have been brought, certainly, when you take a shlamim, and you slaughter the shlamim as a Pesach, since a shlamim as a shlamim can't be brought, certainly the shlamim slaughtered as a Pesach is certainly going to have to obligate you to bring a sin offering, even though it was a mistake. Says the Gemara, but Rabbi Yeshua does believe that there's a difference between something doing something deliberately versus just a mistake. So listening lehachi, why doesn't he give that as the answer? So why says hachi kamerle? That's exactly what he did mean to say. Lididi said to me, your point is not even a question. Lo dami, they're not comparable. Reisha ba'oker, the beginning of the Mishnah, is when somebody knows it's a Pesach and he's deliberately slaughtering it as a shlamim. So that's why he has to bring a sin offering. Seifa, but the other part of the Mishnah, when he has a one-year-old shlamim and he mistakenly offers it as a Pesach on Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos, is a tzoh. He's making a mistake. Therefore, he's exempt. But then he said, even Lididach, even according to you, you don't believe that there's such a difference between mistakes and deliberate. But lo, nevertheless, your question is not a good question. In Pesach, that's slaughtered for a shlamim, he's slaughtering it for something which you're not allowed to be doing on Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos. So since he's moving it towards something which is prohibited, he has to bring a sin offering. Versus Tomer Bisvachim, how do you compare that to a case of a shlamim, which is a year old? Shashina Shman Ladavar Amutter, if he slaughters the shlamim for a Pesach, he's moving it towards something which is permitted. So since he's moving it towards something which is permitted, therefore he should not have to bring a sin offering for it. Going back to the Mishnah. I'm a Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar then goes back to Rabbi Yeshua. If you're going to say it all matters on what you're directing the carbon towards, Think about communal sacrifices. You're allowed to slaughter a Musaf of Shabbos as a Musaf of Shabbos. But Hashochet Lishman, if you take some other carbon and you slaughter it as a Musaf of Shabbos, Chayev, you certainly have to bring a sin offering. So the same thing should be. If you take a Shlamim and you offer it as a Pesach, you should have to bring a sin offering. Yeshua says back, look, I disagree. If you deal with communal sacrifices, there's a set amount of how many communal sacrifices to bring. Two karbanos on a Shabbos. So why is this guy offering more animals as the communal sacrifices? It's clearly a mistake. It's clearly wrong. So if it's clearly wrong, it's not considered an innocent mistake. And then he has to bring a sin offering for doing it. Don't worry about Pesach. But a guy who takes a shlamim and he slaughters it thinking that it's a Pesach, that's an understandable mistake, because there could be many, many Pesachim being brought on every Erev Pesach. Says the Gemara, L'meim b'dach ho'echa dislay kitzvah. Does this mean to say that according to Yeshua, whenever there's a set number, and the person has no business thinking that something else is part of that, Machayev Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua is going to say that he is violating Shabbos and he has to bring a sin offering. But what about the Mishnah that we learned back in Masechta Shabbos about a guy who has two children to give bris milah to, right? They used to have multiple wives. Let's say a man has multiple wives, and you know the two wives give birth to children one after the next. So there's a certain set amount, and nevertheless, Yeshlan kids, but with time we have the following Mishnah. Mishayel Shnei Tinokos. A guy has two babies. Echad Lamulo Achar HaShabbos. One, his eighth day is Sunday. Echad, his other one, Lamulo B'Shabbos. His eighth day is Shabbos. B'Shachach, and a person forgot. Umale Shal Achar HaShabbos B'Shabbos. He gave the Bris Milah for the Sunday baby on Shabbos. So now, the Sunday baby on Shabbos is day seven. Day seven is not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. So he on Shabbos cut the foreskin, made the baby bleed, reduced the baby's life. This is part of the malach of Shochet. So he's chayiv. He has to bring a sin offering for violating Shabbos. But says the Mishnah, Echol Amulu b'Erev Shabbos. One baby should have had a bris mila on Friday. Echol Amulu b'Shabbos. The other baby should be getting the bris mila on Shabbos. And there's one baby, the eighth day is Friday. The other baby, the eighth day is Shabbos. And he made a mistake. And he gave the bris mila for baby of Friday on Shabbos. So now he's doing the bris mila on day 9. So again, a bris mila on day 9 does not overrule Shabbos. But it is still a mitzvah bris mila. It's not a non-mitzvah. So here it says the Mishnah, Belezer Machayev Chadash. Belezer says, since day 9 bris mila should not be happening on Shabbos, he has to bring a sin offering for having done it on Shabbos. Rabbi Yeshua Poter. Rabbi Yeshua says he's exempt because he's under stress. He's trying to do the mitzvah and he got confused and he ended up doing the mitzvah. So he is exempt for bringing a sin offering. Now, why do we exempt him here? There are only two babies. He should know that this is the wrong one. So what's he doing? We just said whenever there's a number, there's no exemption of Torah B'dvar Mitzvah. So I'm Rav Amir, Rav Amir, answered, Rav Amir, case of this Mishnah is Kagon Shakadam Umal Shal Erev Shabbos B'Shabbos. He gave the Bris Milah to the Friday baby on Shabbos. Before he gave the Bris Milah for the Shabbos baby on Shabbos. So in other words, on Friday he didn't do the Bris Milah. He didn't do the Bris Milah that he was supposed to do on Friday. So, he didn't do the Bris Milah for the one that he was supposed to do on Friday. He has two babies. One is a Shabbos baby, one, which would overrule Shabbos. The other one is a Friday baby. You're not supposed to do the Bris Milah on Shabbos. But the Ikaf, the Shabbos, the Taridba. He had the Shabbos baby around. It's putting pressure on him. Yeah, I got to do this Bris Milah. And he made a mistake. He did it on the wrong baby first. So, Acha. But over here, where Rabbi Yeshua says, you know how many karbanos there are. We're talking about a case where you already offer the karbanos musaf, and then he takes some other animal and he says, oh, I'm going to do this as a karban musaf. There's no reason to be stressed anymore. The karban musaf was already offered. Therefore, this, he has to bring a sin offering for doing it. Ihachi, says the Gemara, if that's what's going on, when the Mishnah goes on to say, Rabbi Meir, Omer Rabbi Meir says, Afashoch l'shem muritzubir pater, even somebody who slaughters an animal as the karban, as the communal karban, is also exempt. Is he talking about the same case as Rabbi Yeshua? Afagav the kadam shechtin lemur etzibur reisha. He already offered the musaf sacrifices, and he doesn't have any stress to offer them. Still, he's got to be exempt for offering some other animal as a musaf sacrifice. Well, Tana, we didn't learn a brisa. Rabbi Chia, Aval Arav, Amar, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Chia from Aval Arav, said the name of Rabbi Meir. Lo nechel, Rabbi Lez, Rabbi Yeshua. I'll show you lo shtei tinokos. Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Yeshua don't argue if a guy has two babies. Echelam al Erev Shabbos. One, you should have had the bris mila on Friday. Echelam al Shabbos. One should have the bris mila on Shabbos. V'shachach umala shal Erev Shabbos b'Shabbos. He forgot. And he gave the bris mila for the Friday baby to Shabbos. He did the Friday, maybe it's bris mila on Shabbos. The chayiv, certainly then he would have to bring a sin offering. Amen echlaku, where is there an argument? I'll show you l'shtei tinokos. If he has two babies, echalam al achra Shabbos, one to do the bris mila on Sunday. Echalam al b'Shabbos, one to do it on Shabbos. The shachach umala shal achra Shabbos b'Shabbos. He made a mistake and he gave the bris mila to the Sunday baby on Shabbos. Here, Belezer machayev chatas. Here, Belezer says he has to bring a sin offering because he did something which wasn't even a mitzvah. And Rabbi Yeshua poter, Rabbi Yeshua exempts, because even though he didn't do a mitzvah, he was under stress. He was under stress to try to do the mitzvah because he had a baby that should have had a bris mila on Shabbos. So the Gemara is understanding right now that if you have a Friday baby and a Shabbos baby, so both of them are really, it would be a mitzvah to do a bris mila on them. And he made a mistake. He thought that they're both Shabbos babies, and he ended up doing bris mila first for the Shabbos baby and then on the Friday baby. So that wouldn't be considered a Torah b'dvar mitzvah, because he already did the mitzvah. Whereas in the Seifa, he only did the bris mila for the Sunday baby, because he thought that it was a Shabbos baby. And there Rabbi Yeshua exempts him because he's stressed to do a mitzvah. So you see that according to Rabbi Meir, if you're not stressed to do a mitzvah, and you are obligated for a sin offering when it's a Torah b'dvar mitzvah. So Gemara says, one second, it's his brah, do you think that that's what's going on according to Rabbi Meir? Mahasam to lo avid mitzvah. If in a case where you have a Sunday baby and a Shabbos baby, you're not even doing a mitzvah. Pater b'Yoshua, according to Rabbi Meir, b'Yoshua exempt. Hachad the kavod mitzvah, when you have a Friday baby and a Shabbos baby, so you're doing a mitzvah. So b'chayev, so now he's going to obligate you? Of course he's going to exempt you. So you have to say that according to Rabbi Meir, it's not because you're not thinking about a mitzvah, but there's another reason. So Ami de Be'er B'yanai, they explained in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai, Reisha, in the beginning, where Rabbi Yeshua obligates the person who did the bris mila on the Friday baby on Shabbos. Kegon, shekada mumal, shal Shabbos be'erev Shabbos. He got confused. He already did the bris mila of the Shabbos baby on Friday. So since he did the bris mila of the Shabbos baby on Friday, but he thought that he did the bris mila on the Friday baby on Friday, then on Shabbos he doesn't know that he made a mistake. So he's thinking he's doing the right bris mila. So even though according to his thought he has to do a bris mila, he is chayiv because lo nitno Shabbos lidachos. Because really, objectively, there is no right to violate Shabbos anymore, because the Shabbos baby has already been done on Friday, and this is really the Friday baby. So therefore, there's no reason why he should be stressed with a mitzvah. That's why he's obligated. But safer, but the end of the braisa, where he gave the bris mila for the Sunday baby on Shabbos, he's talking about a case where nitna Shabbos lidachos etzlo. He still has to do the bris mila for the Shabbos baby. And since he's stressed about the Shabbos baby, he has to do the bris mila for... Since he has to do the bris mila for the Shabbos baby, so he's under stress. And since he's under stress, that's why if he made a mistake, he's going to be exempt from a karban. But hacha, but in our Mishnah, harei nitna Shabbos lidachos etzel karban tzibur. Certainly, there is stress because you're going to violate Shabbos for the tamid, for the musaf. And that's what Rabbi Meir says. He's even exempt if he slaughtered other karbanos for their sake. And even if on this Shabbos they already brought the karbanos tzibur, he doesn't have any stress anymore. But since he had been under stress, to do the mitzvah, he got confused, and therefore he would be exempt. Amar le Rav Ashi Rav Kahana, Rav Ashi said to Rav Kahana, Achanami, here too, in the case of where he does the bris milah for the Friday baby on Shabbos, and he had already done the Shabbos baby on Friday, maybe he's under stress because there may be other babies who there should be a bris milah for. Amarle, he said, no, but miu l'gabe d'hai gavra miya slowi chayva. This person, though, doesn't have that obligation. He doesn't have, you see, he doesn't have that stress of, oh, I need to be violating Shabbos. He doesn't know that. He doesn't have babies to do that for. And therefore, he had no reason to be stressed. And therefore, it's not considered a toev dvar mitzvah, making a mistake in trying to do a mitzvah. All right, said the Mishnah, Sh'ar kol hazvachim, all the other karbanos, if you shech them on an Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos, l'shum Pesach, take a shlamim and you slaughter it as a Pesach. Im ein ruin l'Pesach, if it's an animal like a calf, which couldn't ever be thought of as a carbon Pesach, then chayiv, then you're just violating Shabbos, you have to bring a sin offering. Im ruin, but if they're an animal that could have been a carbon Pesach, so now it depends. Rebbe Elazar Machai, Rebbe Elazar says it's still a violation of Shabbos. And Rebbe Yeshua Potter, Rebbe Yeshua says he's exempt because he's a toed b'dvar mitzvah. He's making a mistake in trying to fulfill a mitzvah. Man tana, d'shani le ben ruin l'shein ruin. Who's the tana who makes a distinction between animals that could be, in theory, a carbon Pesach and animals that couldn't be a carbon Pesach? Rebbe Shimoni, that's the view of Rebbe Shimon. The tana, as we learned in a b'raisa, if you're slaughtering animals on Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos, Echad Zvachim Ru'uyin, whether it's animals that could be a carbon Pesach, Echad Zvachim She'en Ru'uyin, or animals that cannot be a carbon Pesach, let's say calves, V'chein HaShochet L'Shem Emurei Tzibur, somebody takes a carbon, he slaughters it as, it's his own shlamim, but he slaughters it as the Musaf of Shabbos. In all of these cases, Potter, in all of these cases, he's exempt because he's stressed. He knows he has to bring Karbanos Pesach on Shabbos. He knows he has to bring communal Karbanos on Shabbos. So he gets confused. And therefore, that confusion is like an onus. It's like out of his control. He doesn't have to bring a sin offering for violating Shabbos. That's the view of Rabbi Meir. I'm Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said no. Rabbi Shimon said like our Mishnah. He says, Lo nechlek urubel ez Rabbi Yoshua al she'en ru'uyin shechayv. Even Rabbi Yoshua would agree that if you're slaughtering an animal that couldn't be a Pesach, let's say a calf, you're slaughtering it as a Pesach, you have no reason to think that it should be a Pesach, that would obligate you to bring a sin offering. That's a violation of Shabbos. Al menechleku, where is there an argument? Al ru'uyin, when you have a little sheep or a goat that could have been a Karban Pesach, and you, it's a shlamim, but you offered it as a Pesach on Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos, still mechayev chatas. Bottom line is, it's not the Pesach. You have to bring a sin offering. Only the Pesach overrules Shabbos. But to be Yeshua is potter because you're trying to do a mitzvah. I'm Rav Bibi. I'm Rav Elazar. Rav Bibi said the name of Rav Elazar. Potter hayer Rav Meir afilu egel shel zivchei shlamin. Why don't you be Meir? You can have a calf. It's a cow, which is a shlamin. Sheshachto l'shem Pesach, and you slaughter it as a Pesach on Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos. And you're going to be exempt. You don't have to, it's not considered a violation of Shabbos. You don't have to bring a sin offering for violating Shabbos. Amr Rav Zeir Rav Bibi. Did Rav Meir really go that far? Amr Rav Yochanan. Didn't Rav Yochanan say, Odai Rav Meir Rabali Mumin? If somebody takes an animal that has a blemish, let's say it's got a wart on it or a broken leg, and he takes it on a Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach, and he slaughters it as a Pesach. Certainly, that's a violation of Shabbos. He should never have made such a mistake, and he has to bring a sin offering. Amar le, Sir Bibi said to Rav Zeira, Bali Mumin lo tarbu. There's a difference. When you have an animal that's blemished, there's no reason for you to think that you can bring it as a korban. It's blemished. Hi, but when you have a calf, tarbu, you're under stress. You made the calf holy as a shlamin. You know you have to bring it. Okay, you're saying, when am I going to bring it? When am I going to bring it? And now it's Erev Pesach. There are all sorts of Kavanos Pesach being brought. You get confused. You say, okay, this is also a Pesach. Why would you think this is a Pesach? It's a calf. Pesach has to be a sheep or a goat. You're under stress. It's understandable. And Torah b'dvar mitzvah, if you made a mistake trying to do a mitzvah, he does not have to bring a sin offering for violating Shabbos. Well, I mean, Rav or Rav Nachman. Rav asked the question of Rav Nachman. Again, let's say it's Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos, and he takes an animal that's not even holy at all, chulin, an animal that's not holy, and he slaughters it as a Pesach. My li am Rabbi Meir. What's Rabbi Meir going to tell us about this? Is Rabbi Meir going to say, here also, he's under stress because of all the Karbanos Pesach, he's exempt. Or not? Amalei said, Potar Rabbi Meir, afilu chulin l'shem Pesach. Yeah, here too Rabbi Meir would exempt from it being considered a violation of Shabbos. It's understandable stress. Ivam Rabbi Yochanan, but didn't Rabbi Yochanan say, Modohei Rabbi Meir b'bali mumin? The mayor would agree that if you took an animal that's blemished and you slaughtered on Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos, as a Pesach, and certainly that's a violation of Shabbos, you have to bring a sin offering. So Gemara says, listen, when you have a blemished animal, there's no reason to think that it's a Karban Pesach. You know it can't be a Karban. So that's already a violation of Shabbos. It's noticeable. Honey, Michlefi, when you have chulin animals, you got confused thinking that it was a Pesach. So Gemara says, what time did Rabbi Meir mishem Michlefi v'lo Michlefi? This reasoning of Rabbi Meir because he's saying people made a mistake, people thought that it was a Pesach. Rabbi Meir says that even if you have a calf that was a shlamim and you slaughtered as a Pesach on Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach, you're exempt. Now, no one's thinking that a calf is a Pesach. No one thinks that a calf is a goat or a sheep. The reasoning of Rabbi Meir is that because he's stressed, he has to bring a Karbanos Pesach. So he's stressed, so other things also get brought up too. Amalei. So Rabbi Nachman said, either one. Tarid afagav lo michlef. If he's under stress, because this is a carbon that he's supposed to be bringing, like a calf, which is a shlamim, he's under stress, and therefore, he may have brought it when all the other Karbanos are being brought, thinking that it's a Pesach. And michlef, and even if he has an animal that's not a carbon at all, he doesn't have any stress to bring it. I've got low tarid, but he might confuse it with the carbon Pesach. That also is a kosher carbon. And not a kosher carbon, but that's also an understandable mistake. He doesn't have to bring a sin offering for violating Shabbos. The one thing that Rabbi Meir would agree, you do have to bring a sin offering for slaughtering them on Shabbos, is if you slaughtered blemished animals, there's no reason to confuse it with the Pesach. And lo mitzvah tarid, you don't have any stress. You have to offer these. You have to get them out of your house. They're not holy. Then Rabbi Meir would agree that if you slaughtered them on Shabbos, you would have to bring a sin offering. Yosef Reb Zeira of Reb Shmuel Bar of Yitzchak. Reb Zeira and Reb Shmuel Bar of Yitzchak were sitting once. Akilah Reb Shmuel Bar of Yitzchak in the antechamber in front of the room of Reb Shmuel Bar of Yitzchak. The Yasvi Vekami, they were sitting and saying, "Am Reb Shimon Lakish." Reb Lakish said, somebody got confused, and the spit, the metal stick with meat, that was meat of a carbon that had already become nosar, got confused with the meat of roasted meat of a carbon that you're supposed to be eating. It's kosher meat. And he ate the nosar by mistake. Chayiv. So he has to bring a sin offering for having eaten nosar by mistake. Even though he was trying to do a mitzvah, he was stressed with a mitzvah, but he didn't do any mitzvah by eating nosar. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Ishto nida ba," somebody who mistakenly has intercourse with his wife when she is a nida, chayiv, he has to bring a sin offering. And we don't say he's a torah b'dvar mitzvah, he's stressed to do a mitzvah, he made a mistake to do a mitzvah. However, yivimto nida ba, let's say his brother died without children. So now his brother's widow was linked to him as a Yavama. So now she becomes a Nida. If he then has intercourse with her, Potter, he'd be exempt from bringing a carbon. He's a Torah b'dvar mitzvah. He's stressed to do a mitzvah. And he actually did a bit of a mitzvah by being with her. Yikadami, others said that since Rabbi Yochanan says that if he makes a mistake and he has intercourse with his wife when she's a Nida, he has to bring a sin offering. Koshkein Bahi, certainly in the case of Reish Lakish, where he mistakenly ate nosar, he has to bring a sin offering to the Machayev. The Loasa mitzvah, because eating nosar is not a mitzvah at all. This time, there's another version. Bahi, in that case, where he mistakenly ate nosar instead of eating the roasted meat, Hutter, he is exempt. My time, a why? Awesome. If he ate noser instead of eating the meat of a carbon, thought it was meat of a carbon, he ended up eating noser, he's exempt. My time, a why? Hasam hu da havel elish yule. Rabbi Yochanan says that if a man mistakenly has intercourse with his wife who's in nida, he has to bring a sin offering because it's not considered a Torah b'dvar mitzvah, making a mistake to try to do a mitzvah because he should have asked her. Aval hacha, when you have different pieces of meat, you can't ask anything, then lo, then not. Rabbi Yochanan, going back to the original version of Rabbi Yochanan, Maishna Yevimto, why is it when he has intercourse with his Yevama who's in Nita that he doesn't have to bring a sin offering? It's a kavod mitzvah because there's a mitzvah of Yibum here. Ishto Nami kavod mitzvah. When he has intercourse with his wife who's in Nita and he made a mistake, he didn't realize that she was in Nita, he's also doing a mitzvah, the mitzvah of Puravu. So Gemara says, no, Ishto Muberes. We're talking about his wife, but she's already pregnant, so there's no Puravu. But there's the mitzvah of making her happy by having relations with her regularly. It's not the time when he was supposed to be having relations with her. A person has to make his wife happy with marital relations whenever she's interested in having marital relations. And so the Gemara was Samach Levesta. It's at the time that she's expecting her period, and then he's not encouraged to have marital relations with her. We're talking about a time when it's a woman's period. So even with his Yevama, what's he doing having relations with her? Why do we say that if he had relations with her, since he did a mitzvah of Yibam, he doesn't have to bring a karban? And says, Yevimto buzzes mina. With Yevama, he's embarrassed to find out that it's her time of her period. Ishtalo buzzes mina. With his wife, he's not embarrassed. He should have found out. Rabbi Yochanan, who exempts the guy who has relations with his Yevama when she's a nida, because he's a Torah b'dvar mitzvah. Come on, who is he following? If he's following Rabbi Yossi, it's not as we learned. In Masechta Sukkah, Rabbi Yossi says, "Yom the Rishon Shel Chag Shechal Yos B'Shabbes. If the first day of Sukkot was on a Shabbos, Shachach, and he forgot, Vehotzi Lulav Rishus Harab, and he carries the lulav out into the public domain, Pater, he's exempt Nishotzi B'Rishus because he's violating Shabbos because he's busy trying to do a mitzvah. So that's Rabbi Yochanan holds the same thing. Somebody who's busy trying to do the mitzvah of Yibum, he does the mitzvah of Yibum, he's ultimately exempt from bringing a sin offering for having also mistakenly done the sin of Nida. But Dilma Shani Yasam Dismano Bo, there it's different, there's a certain time pressure. Right? You can only do the mitzvah of Lulav on that day. Yibum, you have many days to do it. Well, it's like Rabbi Yeshua and Zvachim. It's like what Rabbi Yeshua we have in our Mishnah about Karbanos. That if on Shabbos you shecht some other carbon, right? It's the Shabbos of Erev Pesach, you shecht your shlamim. As a Pesach, on Shabbos of Erev Pesach, since you're under stress to bring the Shlamim, and you're under stress with the Karban Pesach, you have to bring, you're exempt. But there will have some Namis Manabol. There too, it's a time pressure. Elok Rabbi Yeshua de Tinokos. Obviously, it's like Rabbi Yeshua about the two babies and Bris Milah on Shabbos. But Asam Namis Manabol. There too, there's a time pressure. Elok Rabbi Yeshua de Truma. Rather, Rabbi Yochanan is following the view of Rabbi Yeshua in regards to Truma. It's not as written in a Mishnah. Hayochel b'Truma, if a coin's eating Truma, and then know the Shu ben Grusha ben Chalutza. And he finds out that really he's not a Kohen. His mother was a Grusha. His mother was divorced. Reb Elezer Machayev Karim Lachomish. Reb Elezer says, okay, he's like a non-Kohen eating Chum. He has to pay the amount in another fifth. And Reb Yeshua Poter, Reb Yeshua exempts, because he was trying to do a mitzvah. He thought he was doing a mitzvah. He said, Torah b'dvar mitzvah. So you see that according to Reb Yeshua, even though it's not a time pressure to eat the Chumah, Torah b'dvar mitzvah is exempt. The same thing would be here. He makes a mistake to do the mitzvah of Yibum, even though it's not a time pressure, he'd be exempt. But Dilma, but maybe he could do Ravivi Barabaya. Maybe there it's like Ravivi Barabaya. Do you remember Ravivi Barabaya? Ravivi Barabaya said that that case of that Mishnah was on Truma of Erev Pesach, this Manobo, where you have to eat it, because you have to destroy it soon. Inami, or maybe Shani Truma, Dikri Avoda. Truma is different because it's called an Avoda. And an Avoda, when anything which is Avoda, Rachman Achsher, Bidi Eved, if it was done by mistake, it becomes kosher. The times within a Mishnah. Hey, Omeru Makiv. If let's say somebody's doing the service on the Beis Hamikdash in the Mizbeach, we know the Shuben Grusha Ben Chalutza. Then he finds out he's not even a Kohen. His father, his mother was a Grusha. Kala Karbanos Kulan Shikriv Al Gabi Mizbeach Psulin. All the Karbanos are now possible, but Rabbi Yeshua is Machshir. Rabbi, in my time to Rabbi Yeshua, the Chsiv, because the Pasuk says, Barei Hashem Chelo Fol Yodav Tirtzeh, that even if it was done by a Chalal, Bidi Eved, Hashem accepts it. The truma hechi ikri avoda. Where's truma called an avoda? The time is written in a brisa. I said, retire from Shlomo Emesh to Beis HaMedrash. There was a story through retire from, he didn't come last night to the Beis HaMedrash. The shachas, the next morning, the Sora Ben Gamliel found him. Amar Lo, he said, "Name Alo Basa Emes LeBeis HaMedrash. Why didn't you come yesterday to the Beis HaMedrash?" Amar Lo, he said, "Avoda Avadati. I was busy doing Avoda." Amar Lo, he said, "Kol Devarach Ein Elo Tiberi Tamer." It's insane. But he Avoda Bizman Hazeh. First of all, can you do Avoda when we have, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash? Amar Lo, he said, "Yes." Harei Omer. The pasuk says, "Avoda Smatan Etin Esku Naschem, Vazara Karev Yumas." Also, Achilas Truma Begvulin Kavodas Beis HaMikdash. The eating of Truma outside of the Beis HaMikdash is considered an avoda. So maybe there, it's because it was an avoda, therefore it's not comparable to the case of Yibum.